Every summer, hundreds of aspiring young theater students travel to upstate New York for drama camp.
Hi! Welcome to Stage Door Manor Performing Arts Training Center.
Stage Door Manor isn't your typical summer camp.
There was a tennis court that was never occupied. There was a volleyball net. I never saw a volleyball go over it.
These young Broadway hopefuls were there to perform.
Here I am in a place where I can sing with vibrato and no one's gonna, like, punch me.
Yeah, I was always in the chorus of Mame when I should have been Mame.
For those adults who attended Stage Door and now have careers in show business, their memories and friendships are forever.
I keep in touch with three people from high school, no one from college, and everyone from Stage Door.
This is SiriusXM's Theater Camp. A nostalgic look back at teenage life as a theater nerd in the 1980s, featuring cameos from famous Stage Door alumni and hosted by Broadway director Gordon Greenberg and playwright Jonathan Mark Sherman.
Oh, I started my life at Stage Door. I found out who my people are at Stage Door Manor.
Broadway, baby!
I'm Gordon Greenberg. I'm a Broadway director and writer. When I was growing up, there were no TV shows like Glee or High School Musical. If you were a kid interested in singing, dancing, or acting, you were probably considered weird. Combine that with being a boy interested in singing, dancing, and acting, and you were a flat-out freak. It was 1981. Ronald Reagan was sworn in as the 40th president. The Iran hostage crisis dominated the news. A cable channel called MTV debuted that August in my basement.
I want my MTV!
Acts like Blondie, Olivia Newton-John, Rick Springfield, and Lionel Richie ruled the pop charts. That was also the year of my bar mitzvah, which proved to be a turning point in my young life. A few years earlier, I had seen an ad in the New York Times Magazine for a theater camp called Stage Door Manor in a place called Loch Sheldrake, deep in the Catskill Mountains of upstate New York. It sounded like Brigadoon to me. The ad had big, bold stars around it, clearly meant to get the attention of kids, and it certainly got mine.
Welcome to Stage Door Manor Performing Arts Training Center.
It's a training center that helps you in stage technique as well as presence. You could be learning valuable stage skills and be having fun at the same time.
My parents, however, refused and instead made me go to sports camp in the summer, which I absolutely hated. It wasn't me. But I kept begging, and once they actually met Vicki Stewart at the resort they were staying at in Aruba, whose son actually went to the camp, they agreed that once I made my bar mitzvah, I could actually attend Stage Door Manor. And in the summer of 1981, I finally got my wish.
I'm Jonathan Mark Sherman. Like Gordon, I'm also a playwright and an actor. That prepubescent crooning is actually me performing at Stage Door Manor's 1982 production of Grease. That is the same summer I met Gordon on my first day at Stage Door Manor, and we've been friends ever since. When I was in the sixth grade, my teacher told my dad I had a flair for the dramatic because I fought my way back into a spelling bee I did not deserve to be let back into. He suggested that I might benefit from taking acting lessons, and since I grew up in the suburbs of New Jersey, Broadway wasn't too far away. So my dad started taking me to see some shows. It was when I saw Len Carew and Angela Lansbury in Sweeney Todd that I was completely blown away. I knew then and there that I wanted to be a part of whatever Broadway was. I saw that same ad in the New York Times Magazine that Gordon saw, and my dad agreed to let me go to Stage Door.
Stage Door Manor is located in Loch Sheldrake, New York, an idyllic little lakeside spot set amongst the Catskill Mountains. As far as summer camp settings go, it doesn't get much better. Early in the 20th century, the Catskills hosted a thriving resort scene. mainly amongst middle-class Jews living in the New York tri-state area. By the post-World War II years, the Borscht Belt, as it came to be known, played host to dozens of resorts, all of them boasting the sort of amenities you'd find on a modern-day luxury cruise liner. Indoor pools, ice skating, golf, giant banquet halls offering all sorts of food imaginable. All kosher, of course. Top-tier entertainment from acts like Rodney Dangerfield, Jerry Lewis, Barbra Streisand, and Sammy Davis Jr. By the mid-1970s, though, many of these Borscht Belt resorts were struggling. Affordable air travel, a wider variety of vacation choices in more exotic locales, and an aging clientele siphoned away much of the crowds, leaving many Catskills resorts shuttered and in disrepair. Stage Door Manor was born when Carl and Elsie Samuelson opened the camp in the former Carmel Hotel and Resort, giving a new generation of enthusiastic young performers a place to learn their craft and to sing really loud. The first day of camp, I remember walking into my bunk, which actually wasn't a bunk, it was a former hotel. On the top bunk, there was a guy named Ty Taylor. There he was, full of energy, full of spirit, and recently out of a big show called Kid Stuff. And he jumped up on the bed and said, "Hi, I'm Ty Taylor. What's your name? I just started in a show called Kid Stuff. The K is for kindness. The I is for imagination. The D is for dreaming. What do you have to say?" And I looked at him shocked and embarrassed and wanting to say something, but I had nothing other than the fact that I had finally found my people.
I was a little freaked out by having to share a room, which I had never had to do before, and called my father and said, "Please come pick me up. I don't think I want to stay here. I don't like it here. My dad said, "Listen, try and give it a night or two. You can call me anytime," and convinced me somewhat hesitantly to stay. When I called him back the next day, I asked him to sign me up for the next summer.
But I can't be thrown.
TV star John Cryer.
I found Stage Door because my friend David Dennis, his brother, had attended it. So he wanted to go only because of the boy-girl ratio. He was a bit of a hound. But I went sort of wide-eyed and bushy-tailed because I loved the theater. I have to say, I already enjoyed the theater, and I sort of grew up backstage because my parents are both in the business. But Stage Door was like, took it to another level. It's a subculture that reinforces itself, and it was ridiculous and fun, and you know, and everybody was fucking bonkers.
Tony Award winner Janine Tesori.
I had just switched my major to music, and I just thought, God, I should get a music job. What do you do in music? Because that didn't even occur to me. And I saw Stage Door Manor with that crazy little icon, and I thought, oh, I can play piano. And then I called them, and I met Jason Terran, at the Ansonia, at this crazy giant apartment with a piano. And I thought, is this how people get killed? Is this how people die? I'd seen so many 4:30 movies, and Jason came in, and Jack is like, "Can you play something, baby?" Sure. So I played something, and then they said, "We'll call you." And I thought, I don't know what world I just went into. I'd never been in that building. I was 19 and at Stage Door. And as soon as I went into Jack's, I don't know if it was his class or his something, and I remember thinking, oh, this is it. This is where I am. This is where I should be.
First day at Stage Door, they make you audition to figure out where you're going to fit in amongst this big slate of shows. They do, I don't know, 9, 12 shows every 3 weeks. So they had a lot of roles to fill and a lot of new faces that they had to cast. And I remember for the first time feeling like I could let all the kind of musicality inside of me out on the stage and be proud of it. So I thought, here I am in a place where I can sing with vibrato and no one's gonna like punch me.
Me, 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 my, off you go.
Me, 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 my.
Okay, everybody, find a point over there with which you're gonna communicate, a point over in the woods. Just face that way.
Hi!
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 Hey!
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 Academy Award nominee Amy Ryan.
I felt a little overwhelmed by very talented, already seemingly professional young children walking around with sheet music. Do you know what I really just learned at that camp? That there were plays without music. And therefore, I felt like there was a place for me in theater. Because I enjoyed singing, but I knew I wasn't a singer. I think it was Michael Larson, actually, who said, well, you can go do a play. And I said, what's that? And he then sent me into the basement where I was performing and I Remember Mama. And it was dark and dank, and I was very happy.
The audition song was Try to Remember from the Fantastics. It's a very nostalgic, wistful number. I still am not sure what made me pick that, but it must have seemed hilarious to them watching me audition. I also made the somewhat odd choice to keep my arm sort of at a 90-degree angle while singing the song. I was apparently trying to remember, like, over there, I guess, was the idea. My first show was a review called By Strauss, but the Stage Door production, the choice was to sort of mix it sort of a la Follies. So one of the older campers, David Quinn, played a guy who fell asleep in a theater that was being torn down, and then we were all ghosts who had performed in the theater in, you know, black costumes and gloves on our hands and parachute pants.
With cobwebs and sorrow till there's none. When I'm stuck with a day that's gray and lonely, I just stick up my chin.
TV star John Cryer.
I did not take the whole you've got to be ready for an audition thing seriously. First day, you're in amongst a bunch of people who've all prepared quite a bit. I remember there was a kid named Michael Teich who was so ready with his Willkommen from Cabaret. He had tap shoes, and I could hear him fiercely tapping, thudding like some jungle beast on the stage of the Playhouse. And God help me, I was impressed because I had made no preparation. I had to find a monologue from, you know, the various monologue books that were floating around at the time. I had to sing a song. And so I tried to sing a song from Sweeney Todd, but I didn't know the words. So I had to stop like three words in and then sing Happy Birthday just so they had some sort of understanding of my voice. My understanding is that happens with some regularity where people just end up singing Happy Birthday at the time.
Tony Award winner Janine Tesori. Do you happen to remember the first time you met either Gordon and or myself?
Well, your dad talked to me when I first met you, and he was so loving. And he said, can you just watch out for my boy? And everyone's stories are so complicated, but the purity of, it rings in my head. Can you just watch out for my boy? And all summer long, that's what I did, because that the way that your father just sort of trusted me at 19, and I thought, I'm barely older than your son, but I really was in a way. And it was sort of the first example of, I don't know, there was something, the care of it. I can hear him right now, the way and where we were standing.
Before I went to Stage Door, I don't believe I had a sense of what was quote unquote cool or fashionable. At camp, I found out from fellow campers who came down from big cities like Montreal, wearing shirts from places like Benetton. Do you remember that shirt? It was green, I think, with a big stripe across it, and it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. And it also went against everything that people at my school would find acceptable. And I remember that Benetton shirt being my big goal for the fall when I got back. And I finally convinced my parents to allow me to purchase one, and I wore it to school and was immediately like shoved into a locker. Everything we picked up at camp was a year or two or three in advance of what became acceptable in the suburbs.
I mean, I had the great fortune of having an older brother. So with a great record collection for my non-theater needs, the one that he didn't have and that I remember really just going, I need to have this in my life was Howard Jones. And I went to actually see him in concert at Radio City Music Hall with Stage Door people.
No one
also have a very clear memory of our friend Lauren Schaefer. There's this person with a new album out, and you have to hear her. Her name is Madonna. Okay, it's an interesting name. And she put her on, and we're just like, oh, this is really good. She might have a future. You know, it was, I mean, I remember where I was the first moment I heard Madonna. And this was with Stage Door People.
Academy Award nominee Amy Ryan.
You know, I think of this, and I say this as a compliment of all people in theater, we're all a bunch of oddballs. So it was, you know, it's kind of like Meatballs, but set to music. You know, we're all a bit off. I felt like we were in a safe environment.
Social structure at Stage Door was completely backwards from the social structure I was used to. There were a few bits of sporting equipment. There was a tennis court that was never occupied. There was a volleyball net that I never saw a volleyball go over it. If you had a cast album that you knew well, you were surrounded by 10 other people who knew that cast album well and loved it. And there were plenty of pianos scattered around at any point. And so it was very valuable, for instance, if you were a kid who could play the piano. Great. You're always going to be surrounded immediately if you start playing a popular show tune by 5 kids, 10 kids who start singing that show tune. So that piano kid wearing their piano scarf that would get them beaten up during the school year is an essential component of the Stage Door experience. Actor, writer, director, Zach Braff.
My first impression was that I was intimidated. I think I was really kind of like, it was a little bit clicky, and I have a thing where I get really shy when I know no one. And then I had this great camp counselor. He took me under his wing and said, hey, you look sad. And he took me in the cafeteria, the uber cool kid sat at the way back, I remember. And he brought me there and introduced me to everyone. And because he was cool and everyone was sort of open to me. And then I started to make friends. He was sort of like the link I needed to begin to make friends there.
It was never very hard to tell who the leading kids at the camp were. They generally sat together at a round table in the dining hall and clung together. So it's not as if cliques went away. Cliques were just formed based on very, very different qualities, which confused, I think, some kids who, you know, would come and say, I'm popular everywhere else. Why is no one talking to me here? It's like, well, because you can't sing.
The interesting thing at that camp is that anyone who has professional representation and has appeared in a Broadway show, as some of the kids did, instantly becomes a mini celebrity. So the girls who had been in Annie, the kids from Evita, they were our stars.
We snuck and watched their auditions when it was like, she's one of the original Broadway company Peppers is coming to camp. And I remember with Gordon watching, like, we weren't supposed to be watching other kids' auditions, but watching to see, it was like, can she really sing as well as she supposedly can?
We had a Pepper. I thought she was a Duffy.
I think she moved tracks.
TV star John Cryer.
I was Perchik, the fiery revolutionary in Fiddler on the Roof. Yes, I got to wear a fluffy shirt and act all angry. And he doesn't have to sing, which is great. I loved that because I was never a confident singer. But other ones I remember that were fun were King and I, when the entire set, they had built this elaborate thing with all these cables that were attached to the sidewalls of the playhouse, but they ratcheted them up way too high attention. So they pulled chunks out of the wall and the whole thing collapsed. So we had no set on show day, and they were actually still hemming the curtain during the overture. Michael Larson had to make the overture like 14 minutes long because they were still hemming it the whole time. You know, still not done.
I think the first show I got cast in was Jacques Brel. Not coincidentally, the first major show I directed in New York City, The Revival. And it was very liberating and very validating and also hard to trust at first.
Actor, writer, director, Zach Braff.
My first show was... Is it Carnival or Carousel that has a walrus puppet in it?
Carnival.
God, I'm in the right group. So I was in Carnival, and the only part I got was this walrus puppet. So I was like, I came all the way up here, and I'm behind a puppet stage, and I'm operating this walrus. I'm not a puppeteer. But the good news is something great came out of it. I turned lemons into lemonade. I got huge laughs as that walrus. I brought the house down as that damn walrus. And I never had a small part again.
Tony nominee Charles Bush.
Oh, my God. I just was sort of a starlet who would do anything to try to get ahead and never succeeded. You know, I went for 2 summers too. I was such a masochist, but yeah, no, I was always in the chorus of MAME when I should have been MAME, but you know, those were the days. Well, what was extraordinary though is that Jack Romano had such big ambitions, and so here were, you know, kids from 12 to 15 doing the House of Bernarda Alba and Murat Saad, and you know, I mean, it was very sophisticated stuff, and they all got so into it, you know, they sort of were, you know, it's heavy method. These poor kids, really, when they did Murat Saad, they were all going insane. Well, the one show that really made an impact on me was, because I wasn't in very much, I mean, I was in the chorus of these things, but the play Dark of the Moon, which is such an interesting play. And, you know, it's about kind of Appalachian community, and where there's, and it's a fantasy where there, it's kind of a parable about racism, I guess, because regular girl falls in love with the witch boy, and ultimately they're destroyed. It's a big cast of all the townspeople, and I think I played the girl's brother, maybe. It's my only kind of decent part I ever got. But we just got so into it, and Jack directed it so vividly, and there were all these, a lot of music in it. And I just remember that really, for me, was a great theatrical experience, that we were so swept up in the kind of hysteria of this theatrical world.
Academy Award nominee Amy Ryan.
Well, my early theater training, which involves making my family laugh, involved doing lots of impressions. So I felt like that was the one kind of area I was comfortable in, is putting on accents and other people's voices and mimicking them. So, and to be honest, if you have a clip, I can't really say I was doing a British accent. I actually saw this clip not that long ago, and you can hear a pretty strong Queen's accent coming through. It wasn't the Queen's English, that's for sure.
Yet it was the Queen's English. How about that?
How about that?
Noted actor Josh Charles.
But I remember just feeling that sense of whatever it was that turned. I guess it was the sense of community. It was meeting everybody. It was just getting to know people better. It was just also being away for the first time. I, you know, never really done that. I'd been to day camps and stuff. It gave me a sort of focus, and it gave me a sense of comfort to have a community of people that were like-minded and from all different sort of walks of life and different places. And we got to be doing this fabulous show where we got to just, you know, do crowd-pleasing numbers and run around and, you know, fight the sharks and do crazy dancing and do Officer Krupke. And it was definitely like a highlight, that moment.
It's Stranger Things producer and Night at the Museum director Sean Levy.
There was such quick, intense bonding, and it was intensified by the fact that literally in that first several weeks, John and I were in Greece together. The three of us were in the now famous slash infamous Cabaret, which was a musical review of songs from a variety of musicals that we performed at Catskill Hotels. And I've maybe had more glamorous moments since, but none that have felt more glamorous.
It is a great pleasure to introduce this group. These people have worked with us before. Mrs. Brown has been very, very beautiful about this. She has brought these people over to our hotel. They are from right down the road, and they are young children who are aspiring to be big actors, dancers, singers, and you're about to meet them. I would like a nice round of applause. You're going to have a great time with them. Would you start it now? Because they are super. Would you welcome Stage Door Matter? Here they are.
Actor, writer, director, Zach Braff.
We performed it at the hotels, and I remember being like down on one knee at the edge of the stage, panting after some number, and some woman was like, "You're doing a wonderful job." Wonderful. You know, because the only people still going to Borscht Belt, you know, hotels in the Catskills at that point were just ancient, ancient Jews who were like 100 and up.
If I were a rich man, deedle diddle diddle digga digga deedle diddle dum.
You're listening to Theater Camp, a nostalgic look back at teenage life in the 1980s at Stage Door Manor Performing Arts Camp. So far, you've heard our distinguished Stage Door alumni share their memories of life at camp and their most memorable performances. Coming up after the break, no teenage summer camp experience would be complete without some romance. With hormones raging, Stage Door was the place where many of our campers experienced their first kiss, first breakup, and many other firsts that I'll let them share in their own words. We'll be right back.
Good morning and welcome to Stage Door Manor.
You're listening to Theater Camp, a nostalgic look back at teenage life as a theater nerd in the 1980s, hosted by Broadway director Gordon Greenberg and playwright Jonathan Mark Sherman.
I'm Gordon Greenberg, and you're listening to Theater Camp, a nostalgic look back at teenage life in the 1980s at Stage Door Manor Performing Arts Camp. Along with my co-host, Jonathan Mark Sherman, and some of our favorite Stage Door alumni, we're reminiscing about the days before cell phones and the internet, when the most important thing in our lives was getting that lead in the show you so desperately wanted to be in. One thing about summer camp that hasn't changed over the years is teenage romance. No matter the decade, or the century for that matter, young love is a universal concept as old as time itself. At theater camp, however, romance is its own special animal. Remember, we're dealing with some very dramatic teenagers. So let's hear from our Stage Door alumni about their stories of young love. From a first kiss, a heart-wrenching breakup, and many other firsts, I'll let them describe.
Well, I arrived to Stage Door, 13 years old and never been kissed. And certainly one of the reasons I kept going back was that's not how I left Stage Door. And I got my first kiss and my second kiss all in the same 24-hour period, same day. I got my first kiss from a lovely person, we're now friends on Facebook, a lovely blonde from Florida named Kim Hughes. And then after we kissed, her friend came running after me and she said, "Kim wants to break up with you because she thinks you're too fast for her." And I couldn't defend myself because I'd have to say, how could I be too fast for her? I've never kissed anybody before. That was the first time. I didn't want to say that. That seemed embarrassing. So I just sort of took my lumps and I was like, I'm gonna be stoic about this. And I went to the canteen and I got a chipwich and I sort of, eating my chipwich. And my friend Rebecca Kaufman came over to me and she said, "Are you and Kim still dating?" Which time at Stage Door is very different than time anywhere else I've ever experienced. Because you can go through, a major romance, a major friendship, and you have these ups, downs, ups again, all in very short periods of time. I said, "No, Kim and I have split up." And she said, "Oh, well, that's good because my friend Joanna has a crush on you. And she's over there, and you should go ask her to take a walk before, curfew." Joanna was who I had the biggest crush on, but thought she was way out of my league. And she was way out of my league, except we were at Stage Door Manor. So I asked her to take a walk, and I got my second kiss. and carried her picture around in my wallet. That was like my summer of kissing, and then the next summer was my summer of second base, and the third summer was summer of third base, and the fourth summer I lost my virginity to a dance counselor and then got kicked out. So it's sort of very easy to remember each summer distinctly. Actor, writer, director, Zach Braff.
It was a boon to be a straight male at theater camp because so many of your competitors were not interested in girls. My very first kiss was on a bench outside that little underground theater, and I was with Lacey Tucker, and she's the one who put her tongue in my mouth. I didn't even know how that was supposed to go, and I didn't even know what was happening, but it happened, and it was glorious. And I remembered thinking, wow, theater camp's the best.
Tony Award winner Janine Tesori.
Well, everybody was sleeping with everybody, and there was no editing. And Keith Levinson, I married him. He was one of the most important people in my life. You know, Keith was the first musician I met who had, you know, he did a deep passion and love for theater.
Noted actor Josh Charles.
It was a special place, I felt. First of all, it just was this idea that, I mean, I played sports and pretty good athlete, but the idea that you were in this place where suddenly, like, instead of like the star football player, it was like, you know, the actors were sort of like looked at, you know, as the cool kids, was sort of life changing for me. And the ratio did not suck if you were a young heterosexual man. What was it, like 100 girls to 50 guys or something like that?
I think when we were there, it was 3-1.
We should all be so lucky growing up.
Author, comedian, actor, director, writer, Michael Ian Black.
I mean, the great thing about Stage Door is if you are a straight teenage boy, you're going to do very well for yourself. I imagine a gay teenage boy too. But if you're a straight teenage boy who has had no success with girls up to that point, you're going to do just fine because the ratio is so weighted towards girls. I had a lot of my first kind of crushy things at Stage Door. It was a significant part of the reason I certainly came back for a second summer. I was like, this place is amazing. Just for that.
Romance for me at Stage Door was fairly uneventful. It was mostly the beginning of figuring out how to cover for lack of romance by pretending to date girls who appreciated my singing voice or the work I did in Jacques Brel or Bye Bye Birdie. And a lot of them became close friends. I actually did use the tennis courts because I thought they made me seem straight. I'm the guy at Stage Door who also plays sports, so I'm straight-ish. And eventually, it led to a period of, you know, being experimental and super open-minded. And I think more than anything, I just wanted to be accepted and just be like everyone else. So I wanted to date the girls who seemed desirable to everyone else and the people who would have me. The girl at the time, I can't even say woman, who was playing the Lauren Bacall role in Applause, which is the musical version of All About Eve, seemed like the most extravagantly intelligent and urbane person I'd ever met. She lived in a townhouse on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. She went to a fancy prep school. She was super cool, and I thought, I want to date her. I could be on the arm of a woman like this. This sort of metropolitan creature, me, just a simpleton from the suburbs. And we started to date, and in fact, we went to the Diana Ross concert that got rained out in Central Park that summer because her parents lived close to the park. And we stayed overnight in her apartment, and I'm sure I had a stomach ache or some reason I had to sleep alone. Because at 15, I think most people would really be excited for that opportunity to be in a big townhouse with no parents. Not me. Academy Award nominee Amy Ryan.
I remember
I don't remember, like, the girls trying to sneak over to the boys' dorm. Was it the Barrymore?
Yep.
Is that what the dorm was called? Or the hotel? The former hotel. I remember getting, like, not me, but I remember people being in trouble for that. And looking back, I'm like, but what did they do? Nothing, really.
Once we were 15 or so, people had, I don't know how, but I think someone had marijuana at camp. I seem to remember trying it there. It might have been mixed up in the cigarette policy, because there was a cigarette policy that if your parents consented, you could smoke cigarettes at camp. This is the 80s. It's insane. And someone must have secreted some marijuana into a cigarette and then given me some of it. And I do remember with our friend John Goldberg having smoked it, feeling really uncomfortable and never wanting to do it again. And he looked at me and said, I think I like you better this way.
Myself and my dear Canadian pal, Jamie Feldman, they found alcohol in our closet and said, you know, they called our parents. It was a big scandal. And if you've been kicked out of some place, but that place wasn't a drama camp, then you really haven't been kicked out of any place, because getting kicked out of a drama camp, it's like nothing else in the world, because you have 12-year-old children you've never really talked to before, sobbing and holding on to you and saying, I can't believe, how are we going to live without you? You know, everyone's dramatic, and it's a dramatic event. And so it was a really big deal. And Elsie Samuelson, may she rest in peace. She was wonderful to me, but on this day it was creating a sort of a bit of a problem, because kids were leaving their rehearsals to say goodbye to the kids who got kicked out. And so I'll never forget, she goes to my dad, Mr. Sherman, get him in the car and get him the hell out of here. So we got in the car and I waited for my father to talk first, because I didn't know how much or how little trouble I was going to be in. And the first thing he said as we drove away, he goes, Mister, I'm a doctor. And I was like, okay, I think I'm going to be okay. If that's where his anger is going, things are going to, we're going to get through this.
You're listening to Theater Camp, a nostalgic look back at teenage life in the 1980s at Stage Door Manor Performing Arts Camp. Coming up after the break, we'll hear about some of the instructors that made Stage Door such a special place. We'll also hear from our alumni friends about how their time at Stage Door influenced and continue to inform their lives as actors, directors, producers, and showbiz professionals. We'll be right back.
Stage Door Manor.
You're listening to Theater Camp, a nostalgic look back at teenage life as a theater nerd in the 1980s, hosted by Broadway director Gordon Greenberg and playwright Jonathan Mark Sherman.
I'm Gordon Greenberg, and you're listening to Theater Camp, a nostalgic look back at teenage life in the 1980s at Stage Door Manor Performing Arts Camp. All of the Stage Door alumni you've heard from today have gone on to successful adult careers in show business. One thing we all have in common is the lessons we learned and memories from Stage Door. Let's hear from our friends how the things they learned at camp continue to influence their work today.
One of the greatest things that I carry to this day from Stage Door is the idea of not being able to do something or needing more time to be able to do something was wiped away at Stage Door, because I saw what still are some of my favorite performances and favorite sort of feats of magic pulled off on stage in these 3-week sessions. So there's something I will never forget, which is one friend of ours was playing Funny Girl and she lost her voice. And so in 48 hours, another friend of ours had to take over the role of Fanny Bryce. And she walked around with like handlers and you couldn't talk to her and people were running her line, you know, day and night. And she did it. She pulled off the role. And so the thought of needing more than 2 days to step into a leading role in a musical, is everything else seems like, oh, okay, that's padding.
We rehearsed virtually as many hours a day as I do now with a professional cast. When we do a straight six for a show, I always think, that's how many hours a day we rehearsed at camp. I will say a lot of the work that I've done has been informed by the shows that I did as a kid at Stage Door. And two of the first shows I directed in New York were also two of the first shows I appeared in at Stage Door, and that is Jacques Brel and Working. And my love and deep respect and passion for both of those pieces was implanted at a very young age. And I don't think I could care more about either show or believe more profoundly in their power and relevance. And I recognize that so much of that has to do with the time in my life when I first encountered them and the man who taught me about those shows. And that's a man called Jack Romano, who was the artistic director of our camp.
Let's go see Jack's acting class first. He's an award-winning director and an excellent teacher. You'll see what I mean.
One thing that I really always want you to remember is that whenever you, the actor, is on stage, remember that the character that you're playing always wants something. Always. The moment you stop wanting, the audience stops being interested in that character on stage. And what the character wants is known as an objective.
Academy Award nominee Amy Ryan.
I just remember the lesson of him about how important it is to listen on stage and listen to other actors and have focus and give focus to them. And that lesson has stayed with me.
Tony nominee Charles Bush.
I remember one time, Jack Romano, he had each one of us have a private meeting with him, and he would then tell you what he thought of you and your prospects and your abilities. And it was terrifying. And he said, and I guess maybe I was 15, he said, you're self-conscious, all sorts of kind of negative things. But then he said, but you have a theatrical personality and that should do you well. And I thought that how interesting that at 14 years old that he found that in me, and certainly was true.
Yes.
Great insight. He just sensed the essence of who I was.
Tony Award winner Janine Tesori.
I remember Jack throwing a tab can in Jesus Christ Superstar rehearsals. I got it for him, and I was like, I'm going to give Jack a can of tab, which I still drink. I get it on 95th Street. And he was yelling at Judas or Jesus or someone, and he was so mad that he threw the can of tab down. And though unopened, it split open and started spinning like one of those water games and showered everyone with, I'm sure, cyclamates and whatever that drink is made out of. And I just thought, oh, this is passion.
This is the passion.
This is literally the passion.
Author, comedian, actor, director, writer, Michael Ian Black.
And then somewhere into my first year of camp, he said something to me, like just even that he acknowledged me and acknowledged that I had some kind of potential as an actor was the greatest gift he could have given me. To this day, it may be like the single greatest professional moment of my life.
Stage Door had a thing called Festival Week, which was where campers could write and direct our own shows. And I started writing these original sketches. And Jack Romano ran Festival Week and judged Festival Week and gave awards out for Festival Week. And the first adaptation I ever wrote, Gordon directed, which was a highly illegal adaptation of J.D. Salinger's A Perfect Day for Banana Fish. I'm sorry to the Salinger estate. Gordon staged it wonderfully. We swept the awards that Festival Week. And then it gave me the guts to try and write one of these original things I had been writing.
Jonathan Mark Sherman. He was one of the original members of the cabaret. Also, I want to tell you that John, last year, he won the first prize in the Young Playwrights Festival in the United States. Guys, look at him, because this is going to be a very famous playwright and screenwriter.
Actor, writer, director, Zach Braff.
I have to say, it's changed Most in particular, it's changed my nephew's life. He was a shy kid. He was introverted, and when he said he wanted to go to theater camp, we were all like, what? And now he is the most gregarious, confident. He's going to Boston College for theater. I mean, it brought him out of his shell. I mean, it literally changed his life.
Tony nominee Charles Bush.
You know, I arrived with great expectations and hopes and dreams, like any young person going into show business. Because really, what I find so interesting about these summer camps is that they really were a template for show business. So many kids, after one summer, became kind of addicted to the love of it. But you really did get a sense of what show business would be like with that kind of ruthless competition and stars and hangers-on. And every role that occurs in the professional theater was established at these camps.
Tony Award winner Janine Tesori.
It's interesting listening to everyone's stories, because the thing I always hear is, oh, I started my life at Stage Door. I found out who my people are at Stage Door Manor. I just came from a meeting for doing Runaways. We're doing it at the Gala at the Public. We did it at City Center. And I did it because of you guys and the people I met there. And, you know, watching the tracking of the Stage Door Manor, we call them campers, but they're not. They're young artists. That's who they are. They're YAs. And getting to know all of you in, you know, going into your bunk and like laughing and working, it was not about age. It was about a thing that we all got, which I really loved.
The first thing that comes to mind is to look around at your peers and err on the side of kindness at all times, because you may very well find, as I have found, you know, five of the groomsmen when I got married, five of my groomsmen were Stage Door friends. These people who you may think are just summer camp friends have a funny way of becoming your life.
Stranger Things producer and Night at the Museum director Sean Levy.
This is the greatest lesson for how we all still do our jobs and live, is if you're going to be there half-assing it, just skip it. Don't bother unless you're bringing all of you. And I really learned that at Stage Door. If you're singing among 25 other voices, or you're doing a solo, or you're doing a drama scene or a musical, bring all of yourself with ferocity and with true generosity for that audience. I remember learning it. I'm literally getting goosebumps as I say it, because it's still how I try to live and work. And I got that at Stage Door.
For the past hour, you've been listening to us recount our memories from the days back at Stage Door Manor. Everyone you've heard from in today's show went on to really successful careers in theater, television, and film. We got a lot out of our time at camp, including respect for the craft of theater, an appreciation of the hard work and discipline that goes into it, a true love for collaboration and working with people that you know are more creative or more exciting than you ever could have hoped to have been, the knowledge that what you were doing might actually make a difference in the world, that you could move people profoundly just by writing something where there was nothing and putting it up on stage for people to see and hear. Those friendships that got us through a particularly vulnerable time in our lives continue to inspire us as artists and make all our lives richer as people, people with families, people working in the business, people not working in the business, but all people who support each other because we were once vulnerable and creative together.